relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Tonight, we discuss BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or it's also said in different ways, which we'll find out the terminology. I guess more simply, kinky sex, or let's call it 50 Shades sex. And more people will, you know, make the connections there. My guests in studio are Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. It's a bilingual site that's dedicated to the understanding of BDSM and that regroups people who are interested in this and looking for information, and especially in Montreal. So they're here to answer your questions, by the way. If you have questions about the practice, what it means, what it is, you know, we're not here to judge anybody. We're here to find out, get informed, find out what people practice, what people are doing, and for you to get to know, you know, two regular folk who are involved in this area. And if you want to pick their brain and ask them questions, go right ahead. 514-790-0991, star talk, star 8255 on your cell, or you can text us a comment or a question at 514-800. How did you guys start BDSM Circle? How long has it been around?
Well, we started, the first site was in around 2000. Slowly, you know, it was more like a hobby at the time.
Right.
And we started to receive all of these emails from people, which was really, really surprising. And this is how we started to grow the website. Often writing an article about question that was asked often.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem. We're doing it in French and in English. So it's becoming like a real job at some point.
That's a lot of time.
Oh, crap. Well, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's over, I think it's over 1,000 pages.
Oh, wow. So 1,000 pages of information on that website?
Yeah. It's pretty big, pretty vast. You know, it's grown slowly.
Kind of
as we've seen the need for it. When we keep getting, you know, we keep getting questions about a specific thing. So it's like, fine, we'll write an article.
And doing the research, talking to people. The problem we're getting is a lot of people don't want to be outed. They don't want to be public about what they are.
Right.
So you always have to be politically correct when mm-hmm. you talk about somebody's experience, or you always have to change things so they don't recognize themselves.
Right.
And it's a big problem because a lot of people give us beautiful experience they have, or, you know, lesson you can learn, and you cannot use it. Because
right.
if you use it, somebody's going to recognize
right.
who it is.
Unless they give you permission.
Well,
this is true, but not many people do.
Not many people do, and that's the problem.
Right.
And it's sad because we have the chance to talk a lot to all of these people, and one of the problems is we don't have time to write everything we learn, or you know.
Right, you need to write a book with all this. That you've got a book right there, 1,000 pages. Put them all together, sell the book. My goodness, 514-790-0991. Well, I think what's interesting about your website is that it is bilingual. And I think, as you were telling me off air, there was a need in the French community here, right?
Well, in the past, there used to be a lot of English websites about BDSM, but they're all disappearing right now. Most BDSM sites now you're finding are all about money or something to sell you, or subscribe to this, subscribe to that. Personal BDSM websites are slowly disappearing, and I think it's sad because these people who wrote these sites, either in French or in English, have so much to tell you. I mean, there's different ways to do BDSM. It's not like one, you know, rigid way to do BDSM. Mm. And now people cannot read about this. People write to us how to do my BDSM. And
right.
I mean, yes, dear.
Okay.
Yes, dear.
Fine attitude, dear. What we're finding is a lot of the other sites have the BDSM, but without the philosophy, which is a little bit like learning martial arts, but with no philosophy about it. I mean, you can learn how to hit and smack and, mm-hmm. and that, but it's not the same as if you actually learn the mental theory behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The philosophy itself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think there are people listening right now who are thinking, BDSM, what is that exactly? Not everybody knows. Not everybody has read 50 Shades of Grey.
Uh-huh.
And even though that wouldn't qualify in your books as BDSM, I know. But to the general public, that book brought it to the discussion tables. People are talking about it all over the place. It's water cooler discussions now that before, it was much more taboo, much more hidden, you know, and people are now starting to want to find out about what this is exactly.
Well, it kind of comes in waves that every few years something will come out, be it a TV show or a book, and it's like, oh, this is the new thing. And of course, it's been around forever. I mean, you know, my Mother's Day, it was called Slap and Tickle, for God's sakes. That's what the British often call Slap and Tickle. Some people, you know, we often talk to people and I get a big kick at them because, oh, I don't do BDSM. We don't use handcuffs. We just use scarves.
Right.
Bondage and discipline, it's
all
thing.
Part of that. But we'll talk about the range of that. We'll take a break for traffic and really talk about what kinds of behaviors do we mean when we talk about BDSM. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
We're in discussion tonight with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com, a bilingual website on bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, and kinky sex, basically. You know, for most of us, it's 50 Shades of Sex. Or 50 Shades Sex, whatever it is. It's what we know, where we learned more about the kinky stuff or the BDSM stuff. And they're here to answer your questions, so please feel free to call in. 514-790-0991. Tom writes in, sometimes the bottom, it's actually the top. All this play is consensual. I can't stress enough, this is play.
Well,
I like the way that's said, that it's a, you know, a form
yes
of play,
and no.
Adult play.
Hi, Catherine?
Well, I mean, it is a form of play, absolutely. However, as far as the bottom being in control, to a certain extent, yes, because it has to be consensual.
For safety?
They have something called a safe word, where is if it's getting too intense, they can call a red, which is typically used as a stop word. Mm-hmm. They can say slow down, which is usually a yellow, or green, which is go. However, I still don't agree that the bottom is always in control, because there is a point where if I'm playing with a submissive or a slave and they're calling red often to me, I'm going to say we're not a good match and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they never can. I want them to if it truly is too intense for them. But there's still a way for me to keep control where I'm still doing what I want to do and what I like.
Right.
Now, saying that, if I only do what I like and I have no thought whatever for the subs, well, they won't come back if I don't make it somewhat enjoyable for them. Or at least if it's not enjoyable at the time, if it's enjoyable to look back on and think about.
But I guess what Tom is trying to say is that the bottom, the one who chooses to be the submissive, chooses to be the
submissive.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So there's the choice involved. Gives them the control, you know, gives them the control over themselves to say, I'm in control of me at that point.
Well, certainly. I mean, I'm not going to kidnap somebody off the street unless it's been prearranged.
Right. clearly.
Actually, the kidnapping scene is a fantasy that a lot of people have.
Do they?
Believe this.
It's really common.
So what are some of the range? Actually, let's go to Matthew on the line and see what he has, what question he has. Hi, Matthew. Welcome to the show.
I'm probably blow your guest away. I've been involved in BDSM for 42 years, I guess.
Whoa.
Oh, you could teach us a few things.
And for me, they might argue it. I think it was principally a gay sex thing back in the 70s and 80s when I first got introduced to that wonderful lifestyle, fantastic, and my first long-term boyfriend. We were absolutely versatile, but I preferred to be bottom, and he would take me for walks with my dog collar and the leash on St. Catherine Street.
Okay, speaking of that, can I ask you, Matthew, because I just read a story today, in fact, of this guy in a neighborhood walking his girlfriend on a leash, and a father was there with his young child, and the child was saying, the father didn't know how to explain this. So how do I explain this to my kid, you know? Well, and it was this whole story about this father who didn't know how to explain what was going on. So the best explanation, he said, well, they're just pretending to play, you know, doggy and, you know, and master, mm-hmm. or whatever. but he knew what was going on.
What I think is what's wonderful today, I'm disappointed with the 21st century so far overall, but I think it's much more open. I'm talking about this mid-70s and early 80s. Montreal is not the same in some ways that it is now. We didn't discuss certain things, and these things were private in the house and stuff like that. But I think if you have a mutual partner that really cares about you, and it's all by choice, and I've been kidnapped myself. That was a planned thing. It was for one of my birthdays many years ago, and it was a fantasy I always wanted to happen. And it was, but it was all pre-planned, and I was never not aware of what was going on, and I was never unable to leave that when I said it's enough.
Right.
And I think that's what's so important, and so that's the most important thing, even in what we call in the gay culture, vanilla sex. No matter what you're doing, you have to be fully aware at all times, and you have to be fully participating in what's going on.
Fully consensual.
Yeah, or forget about it. But I think BDSM, like other kinky sex that you talk about sometimes, it's blown out of proportion, it's misunderstood, it's a scary thing. But every second house on the street or every second site on the computer, people are dreaming and fantasizing or participating in that type of sex.
In non-vanilla sex, which is kinky, which they don't even realize is probably kinky. So in that respect, you're right. Matthew, thanks.
I would like them to mention the site address again, because maybe I'll write them a small note.
Great.
If that's possible, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. It's bdsmcircle.com. Thanks so much for your call, Matthew. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your call.
So there you go.
This is great.
Yeah, and this is somebody from the gay community practicing BDSM.
And I think actually the gay community was more open about it earlier, but I don't think the gays necessarily invented it.
Don't take credit for it, Matthew.
That's right. We did it too. Mm-hmm.
But they structured it, I think, the first one. You know, they're the one who basically invented the term BDSM, because it didn't exist before that.
Your wife's looking at you like,
well, for my own research, they structured the whole thing a lot before anybody tried to do
right.
the same.
So Matthew's right then.
I think he is right, yeah.
Right.
And we had the chance to have friends and the gay community here in Montreal, and their BDSM is different, but very beautiful, but very different. I mean,
how?
Every group is different in every area. If you go to Quebec City or Ottawa or Drummondville or any of the little different areas where we'll go to like parties, mm-hmm. the parties and the way that people conduct themselves is very, very different. And what is considered proper etiquette is very different.
How? Like, give me examples.
Well, for instance, there are some places where we'll go to a party, and the big thing with all the participants is, for instance, bondage. Mm-hmm. So they'll do some beautiful bondage and things like this. Maybe very little S&M. We were at a party last weekend where it was basically the BDSM was S&M. Mm-hmm.
Really hard S&M, you know.
And it was basically, and I really hope they're not listening, but the truth is, it was, look at me, I can take more.
Well,
okay. And that was,
who can take more pain?
Who could take more pain? And that was, and they were having fun with it, and it was all consensual, and it's all good. But it you know, that same behavior, where they interplayed with a lot of different couples, would not be acceptable in different, in a different group or a different party. Mm-hmm.
How much, you're talking about going to these parties and BDSM parties? How much sex goes on there? Because people have this.
It's usually not a lot of. I have never seen what you would consider normal intercourse at a BDSM party.
Okay.
Ever.
It's not considered the right thing to do.
I've seen, I'm not sure if I can say this, but I've seen someone straddling a dildo.
Mm-hmm. You can say that.
That's
well,
good.
I just did, so it's okay.
Well, that's good. Maybe there's a delay here, hopefully. Just
there
put
is,
your arms
but I'm not
up.
Using it. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But I, you know, I've never actually seen penis vagina at a BDSM party. I've seen where
oral sex.
Yes, I've seen oral sex, but it's usually a male sub having to suck a strap on.
Mm-hmm.
That's much more common to see. Have we ever seen actually a?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, but that was a gay. That was at a gay group.
No, that's something else. But
okay.
Depending on where you are and how comfortable you are with the other guests, we went to some private party where we saw some extreme S&M or even sex, if you can consider it, with using all kind of toys. I'm trying not to be too descriptive here. And some other place, it's just going to be a social event. You know, everybody likes this type of sex, but everybody's dressed properly. You respect all the proper mannerism.
So
you know?
Sometimes they're swinger-like and sometimes not.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but here's a problem. Some swinger have to like to have what really call kinky sex.
Mm-hmm.
And kinky sex and BDSM are not the same.
Ah.
And it's really, really important to talk about this.
Because in BDSM, there's a power exchange. And I mean, they're always in every relationship. There's always, you know, someone's more dominant, someone's more of an authority.
Right. Even in regular
someone's a leader, absolutely.
Right.
But
an initiator,
but because
or whatever.
Of the power exchange and the fact that, you know, you may have bondage, so, you know, you really need to know it's consensual if you've got somebody in bondage, and they really need to have a higher trust level.
But how do you distinguish kinky sex from BDSM sex? I mean, okay, so there's the
usually in BDSM sex, the sex is going to happen between the same partner, okay? If you go into a swingers night, well, it's a swingers night. So somebody is going to be dressed in leather or latex and is going...
Go with that one or that one or
on
that
one. Or that one.
Whereas
or that
usually,
one.
Because of the nature of what's done in BDSM, you have to have a higher level of trust because a condom just isn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're swinging, use a condom, you're safe. But, you know, if you're going to be the bottom to somebody, they better know where your kidneys are before they haul off and smack you.
Hmm.
So
I hear you now. Okay. Right. So there's a whole lot more talk that goes on.
Well, there has to be.
The negotiation, the discussion part of it
that
is
has to
really,
be.
Really, really important.
Right. Whereas if you go into a swingers party, you're going in with a certain expectation and doesn't have to be so much talk.
Doesn't have to be any talk.
Right. Okay.
Maybe a finger cooked a little bit, but that's about it.
Gotcha. More on the other side of the news here with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. If you have comments, questions, you can give us a call at 514-790-0991 or you can text at 514-800. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on CJAD 800.
Tonight on Passion Alternative Sex, once a month we try to focus on alternative practices, and the most common is BDSM, and so this is something that we talk about, and we bring in the experts, and Pierre and Catherine are the experts. They started many moons ago, BDSMCircle.com. It's a bilingual website on which you can get information, 1,000 pages of information.
Yeah, well, there's all
kind
of stuff there.
Well, that's a lot of pages nonetheless. 514-790-0991 or Star Talk, Star 8255, or you can text us at 514-800 if you have questions for Pierre or Catherine. We have a few text messages. In essence, I believe that society is too uptight about the unknown and the somewhat taboo. I have heard many sane women tell me that they fantasize and practice BDSM just like we see it in our media every day. In my opinion, I believe that most people are just not keen on the idea of branding themselves as potentially extremist in sexual nature versus the conventional everyday sex that most people engage in for a few minutes before falling asleep in utter boredom.
Bravo.
Isn't that well said?
Bravo. And I couldn't agree more. When some years ago, we were on TV several times.
Well, you did kink. You did kink.
Yes.
Among
right?
other
yes.
thing, yes.
You were
and,
on kink.
And it was amazing at my work how many people would waylay me on the way to the washroom saying, well, you know, I've been doing that for... Tons of people do it. Almost Everybody I talk to about sex tells me, oh, yeah, well, I've done this
some
and this.
Some form of it. Some form of it.
But nobody wants to come out publicly about it. And this is what surprised me, because for us, it's part of the experience. We come out publicly about it and we hear all of these beautiful stories from people. But most people, they don't want to be seen with somebody who's a bit public or stuff like this. When we actually did kink, some people stopped to invite them to their place, because they were afraid that we would be recognized, and by association,
they didn't want to be associated with you.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
And some of them were the most twisted people you've ever met.
Wow.
And what do you do with that? And for me, it's, yes, society is very close-minded about things that they don't understand. And a lot of people, they just don't want to understand. They just don't want to listen. I mean, there's people, you probably talk about things that are a lot less extreme and your show about this, and people just go, la, 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 you know?
They don't want to hear it. They just turn off the radio. It's a lot simpler. There's an off switch. Yeah. Well, listen, a lot of things are, the landscape of sexuality and what we talk about certainly has changed a lot. Listen, I've been talking about sexuality outright on air for over 20 years, 23 years now.
Well,
you have to say many moons.
Thank you. But I've been doing it a very long time, and you know, bringing out these topics out into the public and what have you. And it has changed. Like, people are more and more open to wanting to hear about this, understanding it a little bit. You know, because it's the judgmental part, right? Everybody's so afraid of being judged for their actions and thinking that they're seen as sick. But we come from a culture where not that long ago, we did see a lot of these things as quote unquote sick, right? Homosexuality was considered a psychiatric disorder. Mm-hmm. What else?
I was reading doing some research, and some women would go to the asylum because their period was out of whack or stuff like this, or they would react with the hormone because of, come on.
Or masturbation, that was a big taboo thing.
There's still countries in the world and places where if a woman has an orgasm, she's considered a dirty piece of crap. Okay, so that it's still there today. We're lucky in the North American culture on whole.
Yeah, we don't have to deal with that. But we have to deal with other, unfortunately, it's still very young is all I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
It wasn't very long ago
there
were so many things that were taboo that now, today, are no longer taboo.
Think of the 50s and 60s. I mean, before the 70s, where we had the revolution of the women. And I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah,
We went for a trip in November and the United States down south. And do you know that there's some state it's illegal to sell a vibrator that has the shape of a penis?
Yeah, I know.
To a married couple.
It's crazy.
For adults.
Yeah, I know. It makes no sense. I mean, look, a lot of these laws are nuts, but there's still quite a few on the books in the U.S. that are not applied, but they're still there, which you wonder, like, why are they still there? Just like, why would there be things in a psychiatric manual that don't belong there anymore, for example. So that has, you know, we have seen an evolution in the way we see this. And, you know, I'm bringing back the 50 Shades trilogy because that, again, brought it out to the open so that even though it's not really representative of the real BDSM community and it had a lot of other things, it did get people to at least try to get them talking about what that is, that it's not just about vanilla sex.
Before the 50 Shades of Grey, years ago, it was the story of Ho. And after that, there was this movie called Secretary.
And 9 1/2 Weeks. Secretary was another one.
I never heard of that one.
It was popular.
9 1/2 Weeks for Secretary?
No, 9 1/2 Weeks, yes, but not Secretary.
You should write it. Okay. I'm sure we have a
time. And the problem is most of this movie, people who do the stuff we do, they're show as having issues, let's be polite, okay? We won't say that they show as being sick.
They're messed up.
And in the introduction of your show, you said we're two regular people. And that part, a lot of people forget this. I'm a blue collar worker.
Mm-hmm.
She works into an office. We're regular people. We pay our bills. We have,
you pay taxes, you have children.
And stuff. But in the mind of people, to do BDSM, you have to be some type of, I don't know,
weirdo.
I don't know.
Most BDSM practitioners are disappointingly normal. They've talked about it. It's all consensual.
Think about the relationship itself. Somebody may like and want to do S&M and stuff like this in their home, but it's a relationship. It's a boring relationship. There's rules. You respect the rule and you do your stuff. We only talk when things go bad or there's a movie coming out.
Right,
or
something is blown out of proportion.
Somebody wrote a book using some BDSM stuff and adding some other stuff. And actually, all of our friends who read the book, they hate it.
The 50 Shades.
The 50 Shades. Yes.
What did they hate about it?
Again,
there's spelling mistakes, punctuation, no.
besides that.
And things like, you just would hope that a book would have a certain quality.
Well, it doesn't. It's not that it was a quality book.
But the character from what we heard, because we want to buy it because now we're curious, mm-hmm. but it seems that the character and the book have their own issues.
Yes, that's exactly that was exactly my point, is that this is a couple that are both so dysfunctional, have such issues and then they throw in the kinky stuff, and then you see the evolution of this relationship and they continue to have issues. So there is something there. There's no question about it. And I think that's the mix up. That's where a lot mm-hmm. of people were upset with, is that, but they did talk about the consensual part was very important in the
book.
That's
good.
The safe word was always mentioned.
That's good.
You know, things like that in terms of it described the play area, the dungeon sort of, the, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things that I think were the eye openers for a lot of couples.
Yeah, but it's so much right now. It's so much in the media. I mean, you watch a video, a music video, there's always some S&M or domination.
Madonna's great for that.
Madonna's is good
she
for that.
She was like one of the first, like in the costume she wore.
She got in trouble because of it.
How about her pointy cups?
Her pointy,
there,
yeah,
right?
Her pointy boobs. Yeah,
I love them. I
mean, right.
Even our own Celine Dion tried to imitate her for a while.
Oh my God! No way.
Oh yeah.
Wow. All right, we've got some other text messages. We are two girls in love. We use strap-on penises to have sex. We clean it after sex. How can we do it safe sex? Well, that is the way to do it safely, is to
Absolutely.
Make sure it's always washed.
Yeah, cleaned. Or if you change partner, use a condom on top of the dildo.
Right.
But yeah. Beside that, it's perfect what they're doing.
Depending on what the dildo's made out of. There's different ways to wash it.
Right.
There are products that are made for the silicone or the rubber. The glass ones are probably the easiest. And
although, how do you strap on? Do they have? They don't have strap-on glass
ones.
Well,
sure.
Do they?
Because
do they?
That attachment is, you take it off the actual.
Oh, I see.
Leather,
you put it
harness.
In harness. Okay, yeah. So you can put in whatever you want.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you just need to have like a flange at the bottom.
But mm-hmm. this is great.
And because I've got like.
You have your own? Oh, okay. Oh, so you're like the expert, Catherine, on strap-ons? Okay. How does it feel to wear a penis? How does it feel when you wear it?
Well, there's different. I have a couple different models, so they feel different. and it depends on what I've got.
I should ask you, how does it feel to penetrate as a woman?
Well, it feels different with a woman or a man. I can tell you that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, you'll have to tell us more. we've got, hi, Doc and guests. I personally have never tried anything too crazy except one night many, many, many years ago. I was with two women. It was fun. The fact remains, who are we to judge anyone? To each his own. More power to those who do. And that's from Ian. Cheers, he says.
Well, Ian, may you have many more fun.
You should do it more.
And then another, a complete flip to that is, hi, Dr. Lori, this is perverted behavior. See, then you have the small-minded people.
Just what's wrong with being perverted?
Well, it's not that it's, you know, again, the way you say perverted versus the way someone else, this person is saying perverted are two very different
Absolutely.
Ways of looking at that and quite judgmental, right?
Yeah, but
anything you Absolutely. Don't do has to be perverted. That's the way it must be. Take a short break and come back with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com here on Passion.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJAD 800.
Alternative sexuality tonight on Passion. We have with us Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com. So every month we try to get them on the program to answer all of our questions and talk about things that are, you know, out of outside of vanilla sex. And they're here. They're very happy to answer your questions. 514-790-0991. You may even have seen them on the show, Kink. What are you two whispering about? You're not hearing anything on your stuff?
It's no. completely You have a volume dead. Control there.
You do have a volume control, honey, there. Yeah. Well, Pierre will help you find
Sorry about
it.
That.
In the meantime, it's okay. You don't even need it. You can take the headset off. Right. It's okay. All right, I have another text message. I'm a teen. I love your show.
Of course.
Can Head and Hands come on your show? Take them off, Catherine. You're okay. To talk about what they do. Of course, we can get them on. Absolutely, no problem. Speaking of teenagers or speaking of youth, young adults, okay, because you don't deal with underage people.
No.
But you get young adults who come and speak to you, who ask you questions. What do you think of that? Like, what kinds of questions are they asking you? Are they actually interested in this?
They're very interested in BDSM, but they do not know where to start. And when I often write to them an answer saying, well, use your erotic fantasy or use your what you like. And often the answer I've got is, I have got no erotic fantasy. And something is wrong, because if you don't have erotic fantasy, what the heck are you doing in BDSM? It's based on what's playing in your mind.
It's based on fantasy.
It's based on fantasy. And this is something that I cannot explain.
Well, for some people, it's just a new thing. It's just, you know what? There's people that are wired this way, like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people
one.
Who there's people who is just the latest fad or the latest. Oh, yeah. We'll just try it. Like,
so you feel
tea.
You're wired this way?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Like, this is a natural thing, just like you would
Absolutely.
Be wired to be gay or straight.
Absolutely.
Actually, they did some research about the gay people, and I think they found out that chemically there was something with. That was
something different with the brain.
The brain stuff like this.
Genetics,
and I believe it's the same thing with
BDSM. Really?
Okay. Well, with I'm a cineast as well.
I'm a what?
Cineast.
Okay.
Oh, you have to explain that one.
It's a whole other thing. And basically, I have cross senses. So when I hear things, I visually see when I hear at the same time. It can be a whole nother whole show.
Wow,
I'm
gonna have to pick your brain a little bit.
But I
earlier on another note,
I'll see waves of color all the time. Like when I see you now, I see a wave mm-hmm. of color. It's like looking through a screen. So you know whether my brain is like that. But I know even
Catherine, you're a little strange.
I am. Well, thank okay. you. Who wants to
we
be
love
normal?
You, but you're, yeah.
It just means you're doing what everybody else is doing. Uh-huh. How boring is that?
A lot of people who are creative, who are artists, actors, singers, or write their own stuff. A lot of them are into alternative lifestyle.
Right.
Because of the fact
I guess something's going on, like you said,
in your brain.
The brain that primes you for the alternative
but
lifestyle.
But it's also, you know what, even when I was younger and before you've even formed the idea that this is sex, I remember watching movies on TV and I would see John Wayne and he would just grab her and I think, ooh. And you know what? That always kind of that roughness always stirred me. And you know, the soft, nice, you know, silken satin thing. Oh, that's nice. Well, that's nice. But, yeah.
Didn't do anything.
It doesn't
for you.
Really do it.
Boring.
You know, it's, you know.
It wasn't in your, because you know when you're a young teenager, you start to have erotic fantasies.
Absolutely.
Right. And you often they're based on the, like, the romantic notions
well,
and the
not
movies.
For me.
Right.
And,
this is
and
where
it took
it's
a
different.
While for me to actually realize that there was a way that I could do BDSM and I could be healthy and sane with it, because I remember my first fantasies when I'd have like rape fantasies and I think, oh my God, what is the matter with me? You know, right. Am I sick? Am I crazy? And at the time I was too young to realize that it was the primal roughness of it that I enjoyed and
right.
that it can be done in a safe and sane consensual thing. I wouldn't really want to be raped. That would be
course.
Horrendous.
Of
but
course.
A play rape can be really fun.
Right, a fantasy thing where
a
you're
fantasy,
in where you're in
fantasy.
Control,
where I can say no,
whereas a real rape,
a
where I can say no.
It's really important
it.
To say this because if it's not fantasy, it's rape. It's real rape.
It's horrendous.
And it's something that,
completely different. We're not. Yeah. That's not at all what we are talking about.
No.
Somebody texted, I am a guy. My girlfriend put me a strap on. She likes both ways. Is that okay? I'm not quite clear what that means. Do you know what that means?
Probably.
She probably likes to give it as well as get it.
Oh. Okay, so to it's use the strap on her partner as
yes.
well to penetrate him.
Yes.
Well, a lot of people do that. Well,
absolutely.
I mean, that's,
yeah, but it seems
they don't
to be
talk about
it's
but
taboo.
Safe,
it's like
use lube.
Use lube. That's right. That's the safest thing you need to do. And don't use the same strap on for both.
No, you have to clean it in between or change the condom.
The condom.
Yeah.
Well,
because
some men actually like to use a strap on.
Okay. Some men like to use
some men would rather use a strap on their own woman than their own penis. Oh, right.
Okay. Well, sometimes just play with the or to play with the size thing or whatever.
Well,
aren't there some? Wait, there are strap-ons that they can actually put their penises into.
Yes.
That I know of. That
there's a name I don't remember.
I remember hearing about that and seeing a document of
an extension.
An extender.
An extender.
It's not usually called a strap-on.
Right. An extender. Right. Mm-hmm. Somebody says it sounds like your guest wants to be spanked. Catherine.
Okay.
No, actually, I'm the spanker.
You're the spanker, okay. Yeah.
We're both the spanker, actually.
Yeah, we're both the spanker.
Can we talk just a few minutes about that, the spanking? Is it supposed to hurt? What's the pain factor thing here? You want to talk about? Okay.
You know that it is so funny because you often get people say, how can you like pain? What's the big deal? Well, if it's done properly, and there is a right and wrong way to do it, you get endorphins going in the person. Now, endorphins is the body's natural response to kind of in the flight or fight. And basically, it's like a painkiller and makes you high.
It's a natural drug.
It's a natural drug that happens.
Secreted by the body.
And you get endorphins going. So there's a feeling of well-being and euphoria.
Except that fight or flight response is not a good feeling usually. So that's a different, I think,
there's a different way of, it's not a scary thing. Thrill.
It's a thrill versus where it would be scary,
right? Yeah, okay.
Right.
Better said.
Right. No, because otherwise, like, if you're afraid of it, how are you going to thoroughly, you know, enjoy it, right? You can't,
because sometimes that little...
Oh, the anticipation of it.
Or that little nervousness can be really fun. I mean, that's part of the
fun of
doing...
In a safe space.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's not like the boogeyman coming out of the blue and scaring the heck out of you, right?
And endorphins usually take a prolonged stress on the body. Some people call it runner's high because long distance runners will get it. So that's that second wind.
Mm-hmm.
But that's often why people like that.
Some other reason is the theatrical that goes around the scene. It's really important. You know, people are dressed and sexy attire.
Mm-hmm.
Often if you have a dungeon, you do it in the dungeon. You know how to create that.
Except that I know people who practice this, the spanking part.
In their bedroom
with no attire whatsoever.
But again, you put somebody on your knees to spank her or spank him, depending on the case.
They did that in 50 Shades. Yeah,
of course. Somebody is submitting to the other one and somebody is dominating the one is being spanked.
Right.
Just that fact sometimes is enough.
By being spanked or by being in bondage, it gives them permission to enjoy it. Because, I was in bondage, so I couldn't help it if he did that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help if my body just had an orgasm. I mean, it's very common, this. I mean, that's a lot of the reasons why people like this, is it takes the responsibility or the guilt out of it for them.
I have a quote here, if you can read it, Catherine.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, look at my English. Listen to this. And this is from the magazine I was telling you. Bind my ankle with your white cotton rope so I cannot walk. Bind my wrist so I cannot push you away. Place me on the bed and wrap your rope tighter around my skin so it grip my flesh. Now I know that struggle is useless, that I must lie here and submit to your mouth and tongue and teeth, your hands and words and whims. I exist only as your object expose. They're giving themselves.
Right, they're giving themselves up to...
You know, some people call this surrendering.
Mm.
And it's really, really, really important for some people. So
to
again,
feel like they can surrender. And
they can surrender.
But it requires an enormous amount of trust, as we said.
Well, we just have
one question here. What is the right way to spank versus the wrong way?
The right way is to spank on the sweet spot of the bottom. In other words, that would be like the sit spot of the bottom.
The fleshy part.
And the fleshy part.
Mm-hmm.
The fleshy part. Don't hit above the small
like
of
the collarbone,
back in there.
Like
the
bone,
back,
I mean the
Because
back
you've got kidneys there.
Okay.
And a good smack on the kidneys can
start slow, and yeah. and not too hard, and you go slow, you know, harder and harder with time, to give more pain. But you have to start slow. If you bang the as fast as hard as you can at the beginning, it won't be fun, and the person will not be able to handle it.
If you on your own arm just start smacking lightly
on your arm,
on your own arm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you do it for about 10 minutes, getting stronger and stronger. You'll see that after a few minutes, you can just wail away. You can even give yourself a bruise, and it doesn't really hurt. And that's part of it. You have to build it up.
Okay. So what about using, like, do people also use, you know,
lots
floggers
of implements?
Don't those really hurt?
Depends on how they're used.
And
they
it depends on the toys. Some are built so they make a lot of noise or have to create a show, because remember that part is really important, the theatrical. But some paddle will make a lot of noise and no damage, right?
And someone else was telling me, I don't remember which show it was, but we did a show and they talked about the spanking with the cupped hand.
Yeah, what's so, create another sensation.
Which is, and you can hear the sound, but you don't feel the impact as much.
Yeah, except when you do the cup hand, and if you miss where you're hitting, you can't hurt
yourself.
No, the other person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lots to learn. Well, we're going to have you back on the program.
It's not finished yet.
Yeah, it's finished.
We're just starting.
I know. Lots to say. Well, we got lots of great questions for you along the way. So we're going to have you back and we'll continue to talk about this.
Thank you very much.
This topic and open it up to our public. Thank you for joining us tonight here.
It was fun.
Great.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.